Elizabeth Colbert is a dear friend of this program and the author of the new book, H is for Hope, Climate Change from A to Z. In 26 essays, one for each letter of the alphabet, Elizabeth Colbert, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Sixth Extinction, takes us on a haunting journey through the history of climate change and the uncertainties of our future in the new book. Climate change resists narrative, and yet some account of what's happening is needed. Obviously, millions of lives are at stake, and upward of a million species, and there are decisions to be made, even though it's unclear who exactly will make them. Elizabeth Colbert will be in conversation with Bill McKibben tomorrow night at the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont at 6 p.m. A quick note, the tickets for that are sold out. However, there is standing room available and additional tickets may be available. So just check out the website, northshire.com, and you can find out more information. Again, the name of the book is H is for Hope, Climate Change from A to Z. Betsy, always a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, Joe, my pleasure.
How did this project, I know this was something that you worked on for the magazine, but how did you come to the idea of an environmental alphabet book?
Well, I was really looking for a way to tackle climate change both, you know, in a sort of new way, which is hard to do these days, but also to use that term, I guess, that's maybe a bit overused these days, to sort of try to disrupt the narrative, to try not to write it in a way that surprised people, gave you sort of unexpected, something unexpected. And I was really searching for a way to do it and finally came upon this one.
When you think about the telling of the story and as a writer of this, using this, it seems like it's a very creative and interesting way, but also a challenge for you to look at this in a very different way.
Well, I mean, I think one of the issues about climate change and one of the overriding points that I'm trying to convey is that, you know, this isn't one narrative. This is many different narratives. You could even say sort of everything, everywhere, all at once. And so I tried to tell a lot of different stories, honestly, in this story, not just one story. And the problem that you run into when you do that is it can start to seem scattered. So I hope that by doing it as a sort of ABCDarian, and also there is a rhythm to it and a sort of a narrative and a narrative climax, at least in my own mind. So I hope it does sort of propel you forward.
Was it ever a challenge? I mean, I find it brilliant how you do this of, you know, B is blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, that put into context makes great sense. Talk a little bit about that entry as well of others of how you commit yourself to the letter that you're going to write about, but also, you know, tell that story that you were just alluding to.
Well, I will be frank and say that some letters were easier than others. You know, you get to the end of the alphabet, it gets a little challenging. But it's actually interesting that you mentioned B, because when I started it, the first letter A, that seemed quite fairly obvious. It was the first scientist to really introduce sort of the concept of global warming long before it was known as global warming was a Swedish scientist named Svante Arrhenius back in the 1890s. So that seemed like kind of a good place to start, Arrhenius beginning with A. But then as soon as I got to B, I was like, what should B be? And then I remembered this speech that Greta Thunberg had given, which sort of became known as the blah, blah, blah speech. It went, you know, I guess it went viral. It was her sort of making fun of all of these climate talks that have occurred over the years and, you know, thousands, millions, billions of words being uttered about how we're going to do something about this problem, and then we don't do it. These things never these international climate talks never actually lead to reductions in emissions. And so that just sort of hit me. Well, that's the logical next place to go. And then it kind of unfolded from there. But as I say, some letters were more difficult to come up with than others.
For N, I'm just going to pick a couple of these for a moment and just ask you about them because I find them so interesting to the overall conversation. And for the letter N, you talk about narratives. And as you write, narratives are socially constructed stories that make sense of events, thereby lending direction to human action. So observes a paper published recently in the journal Climatic Change by a team of European researchers. So much about this is the narrative that we know that is true or not true, or that we choose to believe, right?
Yes, and I definitely, you know, there is a part of this, as I say, there are one of the luxuries of having many narratives is you can introduce ideas and you can challenge those same ideas. So, you know, the narrative, which is really right there at the center of the alphabet, and I agree with you that it's really, you know, an important sort of moment in the book where I start to talk about the stories that we tell ourselves. And those, I think, have kind of hardened into, you know, sort of almost articles of faith. And I think we need to challenge some of those.
How so? How do we challenge them?
Well, I think that the reality, you know, ideas that the book is sort of playing with is, you know, how do we feel about this? We spend a lot of time, and that entry on N, you know, talks about what motivates people. How do we feel about this story? But, you know, the fact of the matter is, and you know, unfortunately, ultimately, the climate doesn't really care how we feel about it. It cares about what we do, and that, you know, if there's a message of the book, that's the message.
It seems so often that we know. I mean, you've spent a great deal of your professional life writing about these subjects, and yet there are times at the end of the day we're still arguing over the basics, and I don't understand that, I guess, and especially given what, you know, the outcome could be, but it does seem like it's something that a lot of people have trouble grasping, and I look at this, I guess, in a political sense where, okay, this should be the biggest issue that we're going to talk about during this election season, and I've thought that for 20 years, and it never has been.
Well, I think that you are making, you know, such a profound point. You know, we are heading into an election season that will be fantastically consequential for the future of the planet, and I doubt that climate change will become a big issue at all. And if it is, it unfortunately may become an issue, you know, with which Donald Trump chooses to bash Joe Biden, who actually has made significant strides in climate change and is spending, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is in the book, you know, that was the first piece of climate legislation that has ever passed the U.S. Congress and been signed, you know, by a president. So that's a pretty major big deal. You would think that would be one of the centerpieces of the campaign. Now, I'm not doing strategy for Joe Biden or, thankfully, for Donald Trump, but I think that, unfortunately, climate change, you know, it has become this divisive issue, which is going to be tragic for us all because, you know, to get back to the point that the climate doesn't care, the climate certainly doesn't care about our political views. Meanwhile, you know, this is last year was by far the warmest year, hottest year on record, and, you know, broke records by a wide margin. And there's really, you know, alarm in the climate science community in what they are seeing, the evidence on the ground. And that is really what we should be paying attention to.
You'll be in conversation tomorrow night with Bill McKibben. And having been on panels with the two of you and talking to the two of you separately and together, I mean, it's hard to say that those are uplifting conversations. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of concern that especially some for a person who's going to go to such an event to hear a discussion. There's great concern about the future, and I look at this book, you know, in one letter, U is uncertainty, which of course continues. But the name of the book is H is for Hope. And it seems to me that that's really what we have to hang on to for dear life, right?
Well, I think that the important point to make, and I want to say that, you know, my own introduction to climate change came from Bill McKibben's book all the way back in 1989.
Right.
You know, The End of Nature, which is still a classic, you know, is a classic book that I really recommend, you know, to everyone, and still very, very timely. I think that what we need to realize, and hope is certainly part of that, is that we are going to be confronting this, you know, once again, no matter how we feel about it, we're going to be confronting the impacts. We already are confronting the impacts. And we need hope, or you could argue we need resolve, and admittedly resolve is not one of the words, to move forward. And one of the things I also want to say that I think Bill brings to the conversation, which I, you know, greatly, greatly admire, is action. You know, we really need action, and Bill has really spent the last, you know, 20 years proving that that is possible.
What action do you think? I mean, we can go in many different directions. We need to go in many different directions, and Bill is certainly illustrates that so wonderfully. For you in even looking at this book, I mean, this does tell us of the many directions that we need to go in, and also helps with that of action, right? Of what we see in the book, what we see in a particular letter or entry that speaks to us and would bring us to take action.
Yes, and I think, I hope the book conveys, you know, the many, once again, the many aspects of the problem, and also the many, you know, people have said repeatedly, I'm not, you know, breaking any news here. There is no silver bullet here. There are many, many forms of action and of transformation of our energy systems, just to start with, that we need. And some of those are underway but need to be moving much, much faster. And some of those aren't even really underway yet, and we need to be moving, you know, to figure out why.
When ultimately, what do you hope people take from this collection? But which by the way, Wesley Alsbrook is the illustrator. It's a beautiful volume. It's really gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did magnificent illustrations, and I want to say that I hope people, it has a lot of you know, one of the advantages, I guess, of having many parts is it's really multifaceted. I hope there are entries that people find just fun or funny, or that they learn a lot, that they come away, you know, both inspired and alarmed.
The name of the book is H is for Hope, Climate Change from A to Z by Elizabeth Colbert. Elizabeth will be in conversation with Bill McKibben at Northshire Bookstore tomorrow night at 6 p.m. You can find out more information about that event by going to northshire.com. Again, I believe the tickets are sold out according to the website. However, there is an option for, it's going to take place in the store, and there is an option for standing room seats, and other tickets may become available. So you're going to want to check the website to find out more, but it's northshire.com. Betsy, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. I so appreciate your great work and sharing it with us this morning.
Oh, Joe, thanks for having me.
Be well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.